You're listening to Politics and Issues with Larry Marino.
John Kupal is the president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association. He joins us now to talk about things on the ballot and things that may end up getting on the ballot. Good to talk with you again, John Kupal. How are you?
Always a pleasure, Larry. How you doing?
We're in election season. I guess people can now vote by mail, and so it's now. And there's some important stuff. If you're a person who doesn't like to see more taxes, you've got to listen up, because get your notes out to write how to vote on some of these things, because you're going to walk down this ballot and let us know what's going to cost us and where we can save some money by how we vote. All right? Let's start with Proposition 6. That's a biggie. This is the one that I know its title and summary is confusing, because those who get to title and summary didn't want to give up that money, so they didn't say repeals the gas tax. They talk about revenues. But this is the one that we got stuck with when the governor signed and the legislature approved a 12 cent on our per gallon tax, and then also our vehicle license fees going up some by over $100 a year. Explain where we are on this and what's the latest.
Yeah, as you point out, Prop 6 is the repeal of last year's gas tax. So the ballot label says eliminate certain funding. That is confusing. The ballot labels and titles are written by our attorney general, who was extremely hostile to the interests of taxpayers. So people just need to understand that Prop 6 is a yes vote, because a vote for Prop 6 will lead to the repeal of last year's gas tax. Now, let's put this in context. The other side's out there saying that it will be the end of Western civilization if we repeal last year's gas tax. But the reality is, if Prop 6 passes, California will still have the fifth highest gas tax in the nation and will be in the top five in car taxes. So, you know, the question that people always ask, and it's a good question, Larry, is what are they doing with the money we give them now? That's always a fair question, and the answer is they've been wasting it and they've been diverting it. So we should not reward bad behavior. Vote yes on Prop 6, and understand that the ballot label is very deceptive. Just remember, Prop 6 is the repeal of the gas tax.
Now, how's it doing? Because the other side admittedly has more money. They've got lots of friends who are lining up at the trough to make money off the labor, the unions, the workers. So they're happy to donate money to run these ads that say our freeway bridges are going to crumble. It's all about the children, whatever they say. What's the truth here? Are they slightly ahead? What are you showing?
Well, it depends. It depends on how the question is asked. If the question is, would you like the rollback of last year's tax increases, there's overwhelming support. But when people just read the ballot label, we don't fare as well. Now, my hope is that despite the fact that they will outspend us probably 10 to 1, they'll probably spend about $40 million, a lot of money of disinformation. And you're right, the money is coming from major construction firms, who stand to benefit very, very much off this, by the trade unions, who, again, they will make a lot of money. Anybody associated with the construction, they're the ones who are funding it. You know, for you would think that if just the maintenance of our roads were an issue, there'd be more grassroots support for their side, but there isn't. The grassroots support is on our side. Middle-class families who are suffering from high gas prices and high car taxes. So we think that if people, and by the way, the ballot arguments, the ballot label is unfair, but they can't control the ballot arguments. We have, for example, someone who was on our side who was a former director of Caltrans who said the money's being wasted. So I think if people actually read the ballot arguments, that helps a lot. And, of course, if they understand that Prop 6 is the repeal of the gas tax, it will pass. It's going to be very tight. It all depends on voter turnout. You know, one of the things, you know, sometimes you don't think, what does, for example, the Justice Kavanaugh hearings have to do with a gas tax. Well, it's all about voter turnout, and I think conservatives are kind of motivated after what's been going on in Washington, D.C., so we're keeping our fingers crossed on that one, and and I'm cautiously optimistic.
All right, so yes on six repeals the gas tax, puts 600 something, 700 bucks back in our pockets, most families. If you vote no on it, that tax continues, and I understand the way they built it, they indexed it for inflation. They're going to take more from us, right?
Yeah, it's going to go up indefinitely. You know, so I just posted something on Twitter. The price differential between an average gallon of gas in California versus the average in all other states is 89 cents. So we're paying almost a buck more average than the rest of the nation in gasoline taxes. And that's that's ridiculous.
All right. So yes on six. All right. There's another initiative proposition on the ballot you want to talk about. It has to do with what?
Well, one of them is rent control. Proposition 10 would repeal a current restriction on local governments from being able to impose rent control. We are opposed to Proposition 10 because it would dramatically expand rent control in California. And, you know, we understand that there's a housing crisis in California. There are all kinds of legitimate responses to that, including building more homes, removing some of the red tape. But rent control is just the opposite thing to do. It will result in a lesser of a housing stock. And, you know, there's an old joke that's been going around among economists for decades, and that is there are two ways to destroy a city. One is carpet bombing, and the other is rent control. And we've seen the ill effects of rent control in many jurisdictions in California, like Santa Monica, San Francisco, with these very politically powerful regulatory boards called rent stabilization boards. You'd be increasing the number of these big bureaucracies dramatically, and also many of them would regulate what you could rent your own home for. So this is not, if you're an owner of a single family residential home, don't think that Prop 10 will impact you. It will, because it's, again, government intrusion into the price of real estate and the price of rent.
It just doesn't work. Hey, you know, address the ad. They run this one ad with this man with a blue shirt on, just kind of looking at the camera. He's a little bit older, and he's kind of concerned about having a place to live. What do you say back to those? I mean, are those aimed at trying to convince us that somehow limiting the rent is going to bring more units online? It's not. People are not going to rent their place out. They're going to sell it if they can't get enough to recoup their investment.
Yeah, we would say that he's correctly identified the disease, but his proposed medicine is exactly opposite. You don't take poison to cure an ill, and this would just exacerbate the housing crisis. Again, there are other answers: removing red tape, allowing more construction of units, and we've begun to see a little bit of that happen already. Because I think even progressives have come around to the notion that California's housing policies have been counterproductive. And by the way, many of the progressive social justice organizations are actually opposed to Prop 10 because they've studied it and they understand it, that it would hurt their interests of keeping real estate values within the reach of the poor and middle class.
John Kapol with us, Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. He's the president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Proposition 13 and Gavin Newsom. You wanted to talk about something that was recently said.
Yeah, very scary. In a debate with the Republican candidate John Cox, the moderator asked them asked Gavin Newsom directly. She said, "Is Prop 13 on the table?" And he said, "Very." This made me very nervous. His direct quote was, "Everything's on the table." Well, we now have someone running for a statewide office who openly admits that Prop 13 is on the table, and this is consistent with what he has said before about Prop 13. So if anyone is concerned about the preservation of 13, you've got to look at this particular comment and take that into consideration when choosing who you vote for the governor of California. It's a very, very troubling, comment. And we hope that if he's elected, he'll change his mind. Whether he's elected or not, people can understand that the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association will defend to the death Proposition 13, as we have for 40 years.
Yeah, it's hard to think 40 years have gone by, because I remember the commercials that the other side ran that said, if you vote for Proposition 13, essential services will be cut by two-thirds. You remember that? That was kind of their campaign.
Yes, I do. And my favorite one is they hired they got some economist, I think it was from UCLA, this older guy who was staring at the camera, and he intoned with a very serious vote, if Proposition 13 passes, California will be plunged into the deepest recession ever seen. Well, Prop 13 passed, and the economy in California exploded in the early 80s. So everything that the progressives claimed would be bad as a result of Prop 13 has turned out to be just the opposite. And you know, carry that forward to today. Everything they talk about in terms of housing policy, Prop 13, transportation, you know, they promised us all this stuff, how good, great high-speed rail would be. You know, we've got to take these promises and these representations by progressives with a huge grain of salt. But our strength is in our numbers, so we hope people join our organization and learn what's going on in California by going to all the resources on our website, which is hjta.org.
The initiatives, the props to vote for and against. Take us through them.
Yes on 6, no on 10, and be very careful about the gubernatorial race because of, and we've endorsed John Cox, by the way, because of our nervousness with Gavin Newsom.
All right, thank you so much, John Kapal, Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Thank you so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Larry.
You're listening to Politics and Issues with Larry Marino.
My guest is Frank Scotto. He's running for the 66th Assembly District, and he is joining us now to talk about his campaign. Frank, thanks so much for taking time to be with us. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Larry.
Let's start by looking at what the 66th Assembly District comprises. Give us a little outline.
Sure. It's the South Bay. It includes the cities of Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach, Torrance, Gardena, Lomita, Palos Verdes Estates, and Rolling Hills and Rolling Hills Estates.
It is a district that has gone back and forth, Republican, Democrat, back to Republican, back to Democrat over time. It is one that you want to focus in on. Tell us a little bit about you and why you're running.
Well, Larry, I've been a person that's been involved in my community for years. I've started, you know, like most people do, you know, everything from PTAs to coaching soccer for 35 years and refereeing and Little League coaching and refereeing and umpiring. But I moved on to many different things, including other associations like the Heart Association, things like that. Then back in the 90s, I was the president of my California Tow Truck Association that had the lobby in Sacramento constantly because of the laws that were being passed that were, you know, basically hurting small businesses. And so I decided to get involved in politics in a small way in the city of Torrance and became a commissioner first in 1997. And then in 2000, I had the opportunity to run for the city council. There was 3 open seats because of term limits on the Torrance City Council. And so I ran, and there was 13 other people that ran, and I came in first place, and I was very proud of that. And then in 2004, I decided to run against an incumbent mayor, which has never been done in the city of Torrance. And in 2006, I was elected 63% to 37%. And it was great times. There's no doubt about it. 2006, 2007 were really, really great. But, you know, as everybody knows, the Great Recession hit us. And I'm very proud to have been the mayor during those times because the city of Torrance was one of those unique cities where we were able to make the cuts necessary very quickly to sustain the downturn in the economy. We, through attrition, went from almost 1,900 employees down to 1,300 employees, didn't take a penny from our employees, protected them through the whole process. But our city services didn't miss a beat. We actually did a number of things with every department, but the one I like to brag about the most is our police department. We one of the very first cities to do community-based policing, which made Torrance become the 11th safest city in the nation. And I'm very proud of that. We doubled the patrol during peak hours, and all of that was done with union support, and very happy that the city of Torrance survived all that. Now, having said all that, Torrance is doing the same services that we were doing before this and more efficiently. And I think that I'm proud to say that the employees in the city of Torrance bought into the concept all the way. And to this day, I think that Torrance is a much better place for that.
Now, take us into the race for the 66th Assembly District. Talk about yourself versus your opponent, this flip-flopping of the district, kind of the demographics, all that goes on there. Explain what's going on.
Well, you know, being a person that's really in tune with what's going on in our state, we've gotten to the point where enough's enough. I mean, some of the things that have been going on the last few years have really hurt so many parts of our society. And the few things that have done this past year really hurt the people that need the money the most. People who work minimum wage jobs are struggling to make ends meet every week when they get their paycheck on Friday. This is the kind of things that are happening in our state. And an example of that is Prop 6, the gas tax. Now, the gas tax, for a lot of people, the $800 a year more per car they're paying for more gas tax and registration and diesel fuel, even though you don't buy diesel fuel, everything you buy in the store is being shipped by a truck. So these things equate to about $800 a year per car that you own. Now, most people can afford that, but the people that work hard jobs, minimum wage jobs, jobs that don't pay a lot, that's a high percentage of their income. It hurts them the most. And the worst part about it, it's not even going to go to fixing the things that people think it's going to fix, like the roads. It's really a road diet bill, meaning that a lane has to be taken away before they can spend the money. It's not, you're going to hear ads that are going to be so misleading real soon here on the news that are going to tell you just the craziest things about this. But trust me, yes, on Prop 6 would be really beneficial to people that really, really are being burdened by taxes in the state. And again, this hurts the low end of our society, which is terrible. I mean, it's really, really the worst place of all. And, you know, and that's just one example of this, what's going on in our state. If you want to bring up things like the train, the crazy train to nowhere, right now it's $77 billion, with a B, dollars, that was going to be spent on a train that most people will never, ever take a ride on. Now, the worst part about that, we have so many other social ills in the state that need to be corrected. For example, homeless. I mean, things like that, with this amount of money, we can take a small portion of that money and fix these things now. Homeless is one of those things. Most people don't realize how bad it's getting out there, and it has a lot to do with a lot of other factors, and one of those relates to public safety, where AB 109, Prop 47, and 57 have released over 100,000 people from jail. And sadly, a lot of those people are on the streets. And we need to socially take care of this problem. It's a very sad thing that we're turning our back on these people who are truly in need. Now, when we talk about homeless people, we've got to admit that there's a whole gamut of people that are in the full spectrum of need. Everything from a person that just with a handout we'll be able to get back into our society and be a contributing factor again. But then there's people on the other end that really need other help, you know, mental help, the ability to go to a place to get counseling, things like that. So you have to, when we talk about homeless, we can't just group them into one bucket. It just doesn't work that way. And we have to look at the whole group and break it down and help those people in that group that we know we can help. But the point is, the state has the money to do this. Right now, the state has between a $7 and $8 billion surplus that we're bragging about. But what we want to do is tax our people more to get more money. I'm not even quite sure the logic. I could see them trying to get more money if they were saying that we didn't balance our budget. But today, California is flush with money, and then they're asking for more money. And the worst part of it, people don't realize that it's going to get worse in the next year to two because of cap and trade bill, that's going to be another 70 cents a gallon to put on gas tax. And we're talking about the gas tax bill right now. That's it's going to be a much more severe penalty to people when that goes into place. So there's so many things that we can talk about that are the state's off track. And one of those things, is, of course, is schools. Sadly, California, we can't brag about having the best schools in the nation. You know, our fourth grade scores in the nation compared to the rest of the United States is down to 45th in the nation in fourth grade scores. And that is a terrible commentary because of the fact that we spend more money. We're the number one in the United States in the amount of money we spend to educate our kids. And we're obviously not getting the bang for our buck. There's huge room for improvement there. But it goes further than that. You know, the fact that public safety is a huge problem. And because of AB 109, Prop 47, 57, you know, my opponent, you know, he supported those things. And the sad part about it is that we want to distort the numbers. And between 2014 and 2016, crime has gone up, violent crime has gone up over 15%. And that's true. But if you added back in the crimes that were reduced to misdemeanors, it's well over 40%. So, I mean, you know, sadly, if you're a victim of a crime, just one crime is too much. I got to admit that. But the saddest part about it, we're not penalizing the people that are committing crimes and are hardworking people that struggle weekly to make a living. And that's the saddest part about it all. We're letting these people out of jail. They don't have to, you know, pay for the crimes they've done. And, you know, we can't continue down this road. And now, again, that goes right back to the train. We take a portion of that and build more prisons, although I'm not in favor of incarcerating, you know, more people. The fact that there's people that are committing violent crimes that are being released today that shouldn't be released. Those are the people that should be staying in jail. So anyway, this goes on and on and on. It's just we have gone too far, and enough's enough in the state.
Frank Scotto is running for the 66th Assembly District. You are a Republican. You have a Democrat who's an incumbent. You're running against. What is the difference between the two?
Well, everything I spoke about, he embraces. He is absolutely the opposite of me. Now, I'm a guy, I've always signed the front of a paycheck. And what that means is I've always owned a business, and I understand the struggles that a small businessman has to go through. Now, the funny part about that is that the struggles that a small businessman has to go through affects his employees. And when a small businessman is struggling, he can't provide necessary thing to his employees to survive. And so, you know, we need to help those small businesses succeed in California and make a living for the people that work for them. So my opponent is just the absolute opposite, polar opposite of everything I've been talking about. He has supported the most bizarre things. He was the last vote for Prop 6, the gas tax bill, SB1. He was the guy that we can contribute passing that bill. So he alone is the one that we need to talk about for that. But most importantly, these guys are really talking about getting rid of Prop 13. And that's what most people should be fearful of. If you own a home or anything like that, and Prop 13 goes away with no grandfathering, it's going to be devastating for everyone who lives in the state of California. It could cause another recession. There's no doubt about it.
Certainly a big issue. All right, if people want to follow you, where do they go to learn the latest about the 66th Assembly District and Frank Scotto's run for it? How do they follow you?
Well, it's real simple. You can either go to frank@frankscotto, that's SCOTTO.com, or Frank Scotto for Assembly. All those things will get you to the same place. And we'd love to have people go on there and read about what's going on, and we hope to make a change in California.
And last 20 seconds, say something to our listeners on why it's so important this election to get out and vote.
It is important because enough is enough. We need to get our legislators to understand that we have people that are standing there saying that you got to learn to spend the money we give you rather than ask for more money.
Frank Scotto, thank you so much. Running for 66th Assembly District, appreciate your time with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Take care
now.
Bye-bye. Coming up, Michael Bustamante from No on Prop 10 will discuss the proposition that will appear on the November ballot. He says it's flawed and could actually hurt the rental market. Plus, Congressman Dana Rohrabacher will join us. He represents California's 48th Congressional District and is running for re-election. Stay with us.
You're listening to Politics and Issues with Larry Marino.